Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Greenpanel Industries Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Brar from CDR India. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Greenpanel Industries Limited's Q1 FY25 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Shobhan Mittal, the Managing Director, Mr. V. Venkatramani, the CFO. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in the result presentation that was sent to you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Shobhan Mittal to begin the proceedings of the call. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us to discuss Greenpanel's financial performance for quarter one for financial year 2025. MDF domestic volume will increase by 10.2% year-on-year for the quarter. Export volumes contracted by 21% due to logistics issues. MDF EBITDA margins at 12.1% were impacted by steep increase in wood prices, 5.8% sequentially and 30.9% year-on-year. Lower domestic volumes on a sequential basis. Plywood volumes were lower both sequentially and year-on-year, and operating margins at negative 2.2% were impacted due to the same. Post-tax profits for the quarter were lower by 58% at Rs. 15.71 crore as compared to 37.26 crore in quarter 1 FY24. Net working capital at 36 days has shown a sequential increase of 8 days due to increase in wood inventory in preparation for the monsoon season. Net debt stood at Rs. 103 crores as on 30th June 2024. However, it stands at negative Rs. 111 crores, excluding debt for expansion project. Mr. Venkatramani will now run you through the financials in greater detail, post which we will have a Q&A session. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I thank you for joining us to discuss the Q1 financial performance of Greenpanel. Net sales during quarter one were Rs. 364.15 crores compared to Rs. 385.16 crores during the year-on-year period. MDF sales fell by 2% at Rs. 331.78 crores and contributed 91% of the revenue. MDF domestic volume stood at 97,400 cubic meters. Export volumes were 21,671 cubic meters, and overall volumes for the quarter were 119,071 cubic meters. MDF domestic revenues were Rs. 288.33 crores, while exports contributed Rs. 43.45 crores. Domestic realizations were lower by 10.01% at Rs. 29,603 per cubic meter, while export realizations were higher by 11.7% at Rs. 20,051 per cubic meter. Blended MDF realizations were lower by 5.1% at Rs. 27,864 per cubic meter. Uttarakhand MDF plant operated at 76% and AP plant operated at 74%, with blended capacity utilization at 75% for the quarter. Plywood sales had degrowth of 28% at Rs. 32.37 crores. Plywood sales volumes were lower by 22.8% at 1.22 million square meter, and the unit operated at 52% during the quarter. Plywood sales realizations were lower by 6.7% at Rs. 266 per square meter, since we have stopped sales of decorative veneers. In quarter one, gross margins at 51% fell by 710 basis points year-on-year due to reduction in selling prices and increase in wood prices. EBITDA margins were down by 780 basis points at 10.9%. PAT was lower by 58% at Rs. 15.71 crores. Gross debt to equity ratio now stands at 0.21 as on 30th June 2024, compared to 0.13 as on 30th June 2023. Net debt as on 30th June stood at rupees 103 crores, including debt of rupees 214 crores for the expansion project. That concludes my presentation. Please open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Certainly, sir. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So again, we have seen, you know, MDF margin is now pretty low at 12%. So what is the sense, when should we expect any types of, you know, pricing increase by the industry and timber prices which continue to shot up? Earlier calls you have said it might possibly cool off from June or July onwards. So what is the sense on the cost side? And lastly, on the import, as we are seeing, you know, freight rates have sort of already doubled in last few months. So is it leading to lower import in the country, and how is the import and domestic pricing gap now?
Yeah, so on the timber cost front, I think we have maintained previously that it is still some time. It was next year when we will see that, you know, the prices starting to cool off and the new plantation material will start coming in circulation. So, however, we do see that there is some stability on the timber prices. As a company, what we have also done is we have ventured into, different species of timber, trying to source other cheaper species of timber, for which we are now trying to keep the timber prices in check. However, it's very hard to estimate, are we seeing a real reduction in timber prices? As of now, it's hard to say that. But, you know, with various mixing of different species, etc., we're able to control our internal timber prices. On the pricing side, we foresee that we don't see any major further reduction in the market pricing coming in, because majority of the new capacities have already come in, and, you know, some of the smaller new capacities have already established themselves with a fair amount of volume in the market and a decent market share. So we don't foresee any major challenge coming on that side as well. Imports, yes, freight prices continue to remain quite inflated, and we are not seeing a major, increase in imports coming. In fact, there has been a reduction only. So we don't see imports being a major threat in the near future because of the freights remaining inflated at this point of time. So that is the current situation from the cost and pricing side.
But in case of, you know, no price increase or 12% margin can possibly, you know, at best you can close this year looks like a 15% margin. So what is the take on that? Because margin is pretty low, someone like, you know, capital intensive business like MDF.
So to remember, we had guided in the last conference call after the fourth quarter results that we are expecting MDF margins to be around what we achieved in Q4 last year, just I think around 16.4%. So that would be our target for the current year.
Understood. Got it. One last question from my side. How you maintain your 15% MDF volume growth guidance for FY25?
Correct.
Okay, that's it. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue, we request you to please restrict your questions to two per person. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. We have the next question from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. Just a couple of quick questions from my end. Of course, you've given all the reasoning, you know, right from domestic competition to, you know, timber prices going up. When you see, like, on timber pricing, I think on the last question you did mention a lot. When do you see this domestic competition easing? I think the last was done by Green Ply and then came Century Ply. Do you see now the price pressure, at least on the competition side, has gone away? The question why I'm asking is, even if, let's say, timber prices start to reduce, if the competition remains fierce, can there be passing on which can happen, or you think that will not happen?
So, I think, you know, Century's new plant has recently started, and of course, I'm quite sure that they're looking to gain some market share, especially in the south zone where they were not, you know, present operating out of the north plant. Not present in a very substantial way. So I wouldn't say that the domestic competition has gone away. However, you know, there is some relief on account of imports not coming in. I'm also quite, you know, hopeful and sure that the domestic industry has now realized, you know, where they stand in terms of margins. And there is, I think we're almost hitting a bottom limit as to how much price cutting can happen. You know, with the given current timber prices being on the increasing trend, even at current levels, you know, margins have already become quite strained. A lot of the new companies have taken on, you know, substantial debt to fund their expansion projects. So I don't foresee any major reduction in market pricing per se. I think now the only challenge that remains is are the increasing timber pricing. And I think collectively as an industry, there are chances that we may be able to pass it on in the coming few months, primarily if all the organized players see it that way and, you know, the imports remain muted, then there would be a possibility of passing on this cost onto the market as well.
So should we say, is it safe to assume in Q2 we will see some price increase happening? I mean,
I don't think we can make it that assumption now. You know, it's still a very competitive market and there's a big gap between demand and supply. So I would wait for some time before we see whether we can implement the price increase in quarter two.
Understood. But lastly, when you mentioned about demand supply, could you give us a number of supply additions happening in the industry, the major ones?
If we look at it, current capacity would be around 3.5 million cubic meters. And including our own capacity of 230,000 cubic meters, we expect another 600,000 cubic meters to be added during the current year. So which will take overall capacity to about 4 million cubic meters, whereas current demand is approximately 2.5 to 2.6 million cubic meters.
Understood. And what would be the quantum of imports, sir, last?
If you look at quarter one, I think it has come down. If you look at the average for last year, it was around 35,000 cubic meters. So if you look at quarter one, it has come down by approximately 50%.
Understood. That was helpful, sir. All the best. I'll get back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Sahay from PL India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Can you give the north and the south timber pricing?
For the first quarter?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it was 6.75 for the north plant and 5.50 for the south plant. And blended was approximately 6 rupees.
Okay. And if I look at your the margin profile of a 12% and also sequentially if I look at your realization and especially in the domestic market, the realization has actually QOQ has gone up. So the 16.5% of margin to 12% is majorly because of a timber pricing.
Well, that's correct. It's to a large extent the timber price. It's also, you know, sequentially if you look at it, domestic volumes have come down from approximately 116,000 cubic meters in quarter four to 97,000 cubic meters in quarter one. So the fall in volumes has definitely contributed to the lower operating margin. And
there have been discounts.
And also been, you know, if you look at it, the domestic export mix has changed compared to what it was in Q4. Q4, I think it was about 92% domestic and 8% exports. Whereas, you know, it's about, I think, 82% domestic and 18% exports in the current quarter.
Okay. Next question, sir, is related to the OEM. How much is the volume and value contribution for a quarter?
The OEM contribution was 25% of the domestic volumes.
And in value terms?
I don't have the figure right now. You can give me a call later.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Gajiwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking up my question. So where you mentioned that you will be ending FY25, you are targeting around 16.5% margin for 25. So what will be those reasons? I mean, from 13 going back to 16%, where you are not seeing timber prices coming down?
Okay, it comes primarily from, you know, the volume growth we are projecting for this year. We are projecting a volume growth of 15% in the MDF segment. You know that operational efficiency should give us the higher margins.
Yes, understood. But sir, to achieve 15%, your ask rate for coming 9 months is close to 19 to 20% growth. And I believe imports could be lower in Q1 also because there was some confusion around BIS, so the orders were delayed and the container, you know, issues were there. But if imports starts to come back, then 9 months, you know, 19-20% growth looks a bit challenging given the current scenario, but any light over there?
Yeah, I think imports will continue to face challenges just as we are facing challenges on the export side. Now, it's not only a steep increase in ocean freight rates, there's also a non-availability of containers and ships, and ship schedules are also, you know, getting deferred to a significant extent. So I don't think imports will go up significantly, at least for the next two quarters.
Understood, sir. And sir, lastly, the capex that the new plant is expected to commence in Q3, so that is as per schedule, and would it start to contribute from Q4 onwards, or is there some delay over there?
That's correct. It will start production in Q3.
Okay, sir. I'll fall back in the line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinamra Hirawat from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are. Please go ahead.
My question was on wood prices. I just want to know, you know, what is the expected quantum of reduction in wood prices in FY26 when the new crops start coming in and the estimated impact it will have on your cost of goods sold?
It's impossible to gauge that at this point of time. You know, being a natural product, you know, and being so fragmented in the hands of so many farmers, we will not be able to gauge what kind of supply would be coming in and what would be the expected demand at that point of time, which would result in the reduction. So it's quite impossible to gauge that at this point of time.
Okay, and I just want to know if this quarter had any election impact on your sales volumes.
Yeah, I think to some extent, you know, we also had the election impact, just as, you know, April is also a slow starter because dealers increased volumes in March to avail the highest slab of incentive. So all those factors definitely contributed to, you know, lower volumes in quarter one. And we are confident that we'll start seeing the pickup from the current quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agrawal from Kotak AMC. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity.
So my question was related to the discounts and schemes. I believe it was in place till the end of June, but still our volumes fell down during the quarter. And so have you rolled back the schemes, or are they still in place?
No, the schemes are very much in place. Because you see, I think our schemes were a reaction to undercutting by other companies. So it was an answer to the other schemes that were launched by other companies. So at this point of time, the schemes continue to be in place.
Okay. Do we see quarter two volumes going down further? Because I mean, it's normally a kind of weak quarter. So, like, what has been the performance for July? If you can just help on that.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see a volume improvement in quarter two because monsoons do not significantly impact demand since this is an internal product, primarily used for manufacturing furniture. So monsoon does not create any significant disturbances. So I think volumes will be significantly better in quarter two as compared to quarter one.
All right. And like, what about the margin front? Is this the bottom, 12%, is this kind of bottom, have the margins bottomed out, or do we expect any further erosion?
I think the margins have bottomed out. I definitely, since we are seeing volume improvement in quarter two, I think margins will definitely be better in quarter two as compared to quarter one.
All right. And what about the plywood segment? Like, when do we see performance improvement out there?
So we are seeing, volume improvement already in the plywood segment. We've taken some strong decisions in the plywood segment. We've combined and merged the plywood sales team. So what we've done is we've opened up, the number of people selling plywood within the company to a much larger number base, and we've also started accessing our entire MDF network to try to put our plywood product into that segment. So we're already seeing improvement in terms of volumes. There has been cost optimization as well. We're also hopeful that in the next month and a half, we'll see some price improvement in plywood as well. We've already sent out a notice to the market for the same. And we're hopeful that within a month's time that will get implemented. So with these different measures the more sort of increased intensity of selling plywood within the company, I see volumes to improve and also some relief on the margin front with the improved pricing as well.
All right. That's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Mehta from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, I just wanted to ask, why has the annual capacity for plywood declined from 10.5 million square meters in Q1 FY24 to 9 million square meters in Q1 FY25?
That's correct. As we had mentioned earlier, we have shut down the decorative veneers segment. So that's why you see a reduction in capacity.
Sorry, sir, which segment?
The decorative veneers.
Okay.
Which is part of the plywood business. As we had mentioned in the earlier call also, we have closed down the decorative veneers business. So that's why you see a reduction in the overall plywood capacity.
All right, sir. That was my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So first was a clarification. You indicated that after 600,000 of capacity addition at industry level, the total capacity we are looking at 4 million CBM. Is that number right?
That's correct.
Right. And so the corresponding demand would be around 2.6 to 2.8. Did you mention that? Did I hear it right?
Yeah, I said current, if you look at, the last financial year, I estimate it's between 2.5 to 2.6.
Okay, perfect. And sir, imports, you indicated average was 35,000, and for the quarter, I could not pick up the number, sir.
Quarter, I said it was approximately 50% of the last year's average of 35,000. So somewhere between 17 to 18,000 cubic meters per month.
Okay, so this is helpful. Sir, my second question is on import parity pricing. Historically, you used to give us number on what the FOB price is, what the freight price is, and effectively we could calculate the landed price. You did indicate around container freight charges. Is it possible if you could please quantify that?
As of now, what we are seeing, you know, there's not too much imports coming in, so it's not very clear. But as of now, what we know is that from Southeast Asian countries, they're trying to maintain an FOB price of $190 to $195. And on the freight side, I think today we're talking at least a number of $30 to $35 per cubic meter to bring it into India. So
sure.
That would result in a price of $225, $230 CNF.
Right. And sir, would that be import duty of around 10%? Is it something which is applicable right now?
No, it's under the free trade. It's most of the Southeast Asian countries fall under the free trade agreement. So there is no import duty on that.
Perfect. So sir, if we look at this number factoring $35 of freight, $190 what you indicated on FOB basis, the landed price will be somewhere around 18,000-19,000 rupees. How should we look at this versus our reported realization? I understand we do a lot of value-added products, but is it possible to get some comfort that the local pricing would not reduce only looking at import parity?
It would not, because you see, I think what we need to compare firstly is, you know, the industrial grade product against the import product, which is the segment that the imports compete in, number one. And number two, what also needs to be factored in is that this price is landed at the port. Even on the, you know, at the port location, there are various clearing charges and local transportation charges and, you know, then overheads of the importer involved. I think which adds around 2,500 rupees per cubic meter to the cost to bring it to the importers. So, and the moment they further transport this to the users and the consumers, then the cost gets added up. So we don't foresee that in industrial grade because of imports, we will see any, you know, for the, at these price levels, any pricing challenge. That is why you also see at this point of time, that majority of the OEMs that we are catering to who were completely dependent on imports in the earlier, you know, earlier a few months have now moved to the domestic producers purely because imports is not really viable and they're also happy to pay a small premium to the domestic producers because there is a lot of, you know, they have lower working capital requirement dealing with domestic producers, LC limits are not required, foreign exchange volatility goes out of the picture. So we don't see that to be a challenge with the current price levels.
Right. So just a follow-up, the implied realization based on our math, it comes to around 29,600 rupees per CBM. If one had to bifurcate this into two parts, one is the basic grade and the value added, would that be possible? A broad number would also help. Just again,
to
have comfort on pricing.
Sure. So our domestic blended realization is 29,603 rupees. So if you look at the basic products, which is the industrial and the commercial grade products, so the average realization comes to 22,695. And those for the value-added segment comes to 37,482.
Okay, so this is quite useful. And for this last question, you indicated there is another 600K of capacity which is expected. So if you look at the current margin profile, it would be difficult to cover for the cost of capital for most of the players. So when you speak to the industry participants, what is the thought process? Is it like to look at market share push volumes? Or is there some hope that there would be sanity in the marketplace and there will be some resilience on pricing that one can expect?
It's hard to, you know, I mean, I think everyone is hopeful that there will be some relief on the timber cost front. There will all, everyone is quite upbeat about the fact that imports have been curtailed. But at the same time, cutthroat competition continues in the market. I'm just hopeful that people get, realize that, you know, it can't get any worse than that and start, you know, working towards margin improvement, whether it's on the pricing side or also, for example, additional efforts on the raw material side, whether it's reducing pricing or, you know, increasing plantation activities.
Right. So this is very helpful. Sir, can I just squeeze in one question, if you permit?
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Sir, basically, if you look at timber prices locally last 15 years, 20 years in India, have there been any tenures when the timber prices have actually reduced? And if yes, what were the reasons leading to that?
No. So, you see, in timber, there is, it's always, you know, we always go through these cycles because, you know, demand goes up, you know, plantations start, you know, prices start going up and plantations start happening. And then, you know, when plantations do become available and demand is, you know, sort of similar, then the prices will go down. We've seen this, you know, there is always a 5 to 6 year cycle when this always happens. So it's quite common and expected. Of course, this time it's been a bit more inflated because demand from the paper mills and the expansion in the MDF industry has been quite substantial. For this grade of timber, the demand has drastically gone up and, you know, plantation is taking time to catch up. But these cycles have been in the industry for, it always happens. It's quite common for this to happen.
Sure. This is very helpful. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Bothra from Anand Rathi Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. 2-3 questions.
Good afternoon.
Firstly, just wanted to understand what things can we do in order to reach back to our profit levels. I mean, market scenario, we all know, understand how things have been, and I'm sure you would be doing the right steps or taking the right steps to move in a more profitable manner. But what, according to you, are key factors which is restricting the increase in profitability?
So, you see, as I mentioned earlier, certain things are beyond our control. For example, you know, timber pricing. The best we can do at this point of time is to try to, you know, mix different grades of species and different species and different grades of material to reduce our average timber consumption cost. We've taken a strong drive internally within the company to cut unnecessary costs during this difficult period. Like I said, you know, we merged the plywood and the MDF teams, which has resulted in a fair amount of savings. Fair amount of savings on the sales operation side. We've also, for example, decided to centralize certain, you know, sales and commercial functions, which were earlier, you know, divided in the respective branches to make it more efficient and reduce costs as well. On the cost-cutting side, there has been a strong drive within the company to try to improve margins. Also, one thing that the company is focusing on is the increase in the value-added product mix, because that is somewhere where we see that there is good opportunity for profitability to go up. There is no threat from the unorganized segment or the imports in that particular segment. So there is a strong focus on increasing the value-added segment for the company. So there are cost-cutting measures in place. There is, you know, of course, there is a drive to improve the product mix. You know, hopefully in the next coming few months, we can also see some opportunities to pass on cost increases to the market with price increases. So that would also result in an improvement in the margins of the company and the profitability.
Okay. So why I was asking this question is, If we recollect 2021-22, I mean, the run rate of revenue was around 470-450 crores, which has come down to around 397. I'm sure realization would have improved, volumes would have improved, vice versa. I mean, there could be at times one would be up and one would be down. But our margin contribution has come off this sharply. 28-29% margin have come off to 13%. And this has been quite for a while. So since everything looks good on the demand front, input cost is a challenge which has been there for a while. And still we don't know where we will be landing up in Q2 or Q3. So does diversification help to an extent from moving from MDF to other business segments? Because I guess non-compete clause is over.
No, non-compete clause, you know, we don't have the non-compete only applies for us to the plywood segment at this point of time. But like I said, you know, even that is no longer in place. But Anand, I think we are still very, very upbeat about the MDF segment. It is, you know, the demand side, I would say the challenge is of oversupply, not of the market demand or market growth. The reason why this problem has been created over the last year or is because surplus supply has come in, which I am quite sure, given the current conditions, people are not going to very, you know, willingly invest into MDF plants or large MDF plants going forward, because everyone knows the current situation. So we see that this situation is definitely going to improve. As a company, you know, we are very, very cautious about the debt in our books. We've already undertaken an expansion project. Our current capacities are underutilized at this point of time. So the focus of the company at this point of time is to optimize existing capacity, bring the new project online and bring it up to capacity, and streamline the plywood business to bring it to full capacity as well. So with these things on our hand at this point of time, diversification into another product line is definitely not on our minds. There is already a lot in on our hands to do, and I think for the next 2 financial years, we're quite sure that this will keep us occupied.
Got it. And in terms of, you mentioned oversupply. So is it imports? Are we pressurizing the government, or are we lobbying with the government to have certain anti-dumping duties so that domestic industry is protected?
At this point of time, you see, as I mentioned, imports are not really a major threat at this point of time because of the freight. Freight costs being very high. At the same time, we had plans for BIS being implemented, which unfortunately got deferred by a year. So this will get implemented next February, which would already create a barrier for imports coming into the country. Mm-hmm. And if the industry sees the need or the necessity for, reinitiating the anti-dumping investigation, then they might do so. But at this point of time, with the increased rate and I think with BIS coming in, it doesn't seem like that may be immediately necessary to engage into another investigation for the time being.
So your statement that there is ample supply coming in, so where is it, domestic supply which is hurting?
I'm talking about domestic, yes.
The nature
of an MDF plant being a continuous process is that the entire capacity comes into play the very first day you start the line. Yeah?
Correct.
So, you know, the day I set up my new plant, I have that 18,000-20,000 cubic meters per month immediately available to me.
Correct. Sorry,
go ahead, please.
No, you can go ahead. I'll come again.
So that is what I'm saying, is that in the past year and a half, we have seen a few big lines come online, you know, which has added to the supply side quite drastically. But with the market growing at 15-20%, there is a lag of demand catching up to the available capacities.
But what I recall is when I spoke around 2.5 years back, most of the industry players including you and other ones, mentioned that this situation will not arise because we have burned our fingers in the history. There are, because we had the same question, and the sell side analyst had the same question, that a lot of supplies are coming up. How will you mitigate the risk? And there was a response from everyone that we had burned our fingers in the past and these sort of situation or equation will not come up. And we are in the same case now as of now. So on one hand, wood cost is burning us. On the other hand, supply is burning us and this situation will remove. To what time frame you think things will turn around?
Okay. So it's not as, bad as what. So if you recall when a similar situation occurred in 2019, realizations were down by 20%. Whereas, if you see at this point of time, it's possibly down by about 7 to 8%.
Because of
what? So things are definitely different from what it was in the earlier example when we saw prices moving from 26,000 to about 20,000.
Okay. Fine, I'll come back in the future.
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arul Selvan from Independent Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I just have a couple of questions. The first one is just a subjective thought. What do you think are the opportunities for consolidation in the industry, in your opinion?
I don't see that. Any concrete opportunities there at this point of time.
Mm-hmm. But is it predominantly because the increased supply that you were alluding to in the previous answer has come from organized players, or is it the case that there is a lot of supply coming from the unorganized players? Because I would assume that if... Yeah, keep going, sorry.
The unorganized players, of course, there is an increase in supply on that side as well. No doubt about that. And it won't be correct to say that we are completely insulated from the unorganized segment, But at the same time, large quantities have, large capacities have been added by the organized players as well. And unfortunately, being a commoditized product segment and, product differentiation being very, very difficult in this particular segment, within the organized segment market, I think the capacity increase has been much more drastic. Greenply came in less than a year ago and... Century has just started. So that this, of course, has definitely affected, the market conditions, especially in the organized segment.
Okay, so your view is that this competition in the last one and a half years, right, this is sort of, high amounts of competition and, the consequent difficulties in the pricing environment has predominantly been caused by the organized players rather than the unorganized players.
I would say so. That the organized segment competition is definitely of a bigger concern than the unorganized segment, And I could probably name the companies, where we face challenges from. That would be Century, that would be Action, that would be Greenply, and to a certain extent, Rushil Decor. These are the five major, organized players in the country where undercutting is happening. I don't have customers or I don't have retail partners who are quoting me an unorganized player because they know that we don't compete with that segment. But, if there is a consumer who's telling me that I'm being offered Greenply at this price or Century at this price, which generally happens to be the case, then that's where the concern arises for me.
And okay. I understand.
To a large extent, this is quite similar to, the plywood market, for example, where the established players like Greenply and Century Ply are there. They don't talk about competition with the unorganized segment, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, one more question along these lines is that the proportion of the proportion of the market being with organized players, have you seen any reduction in that in the last 1 or 2 years, both on the MDF side as well as on the plywood side?
So you're saying in terms of supply from the unorganized players?
Yes.
So I know for a fact that, they are facing even bigger challenges than the organized segment is. You know, at one time, they were refusing, through the association to talk to the organized players. They were like, we will do what we want to do and, you guys do what you want to do. But now the organized players are being approached that, that we should look at price increases. So, which is a clear sort of indication that they have challenges while we are able to withstand this this situation. And this situation was bound to happen because, when timber costs have gone up and they don't have, the pricing levels like the organized players do, and then it's a bigger challenge for them. I also know for a fact that certain plants are currently not even operating because they're unable to sustain the current timber prices.
Okay. But any number that you have in mind in terms of what the market is with?
Unfortunately, I don't.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Can you help me understand on domestic...
Sorry, Rishesh, can you please speak a little louder?
Hello.
We can't hear you very clearly.
Hello. I'm audible? Yeah, so can you help explain what explains this improvement in realization on sequential basis on domestic side? Small improvement, but 20 or somewhere from 29,000 to 29,600 or... What explains this on sequential basis compared to Q4?
So this would definitely be on account of the product mix, better value-added products.
Okay. And second is on roadmap to improvement of margin to 16%. How much will it be from operating leverage and how much do you think pricing will drive if there's anything you can guide on that front?
At the moment, we are not looking at any price increases. We are rather looking at price stability for the current quarter. So basically, it will come from operational leverage and lower operating expenses.
And the last two questions are: timeline for new capacity remains same, or is there any change on the timeline?
There's no change.
Okay. And finally, on this, I know we spoke about timber cost, but in South, I believe we have imports option also. Do you feel that imported timber is still expensive and largely it's a freight issue, or is that global timber prices are also on upside?
No. So I don't think global timber prices are on the upside. Freight is, of course, a big challenge. Timber is a high... So there are two things. Firstly, majority of the countries do not allow log exports, unless you're bringing in logs from South America, which may be suitable for the plywood business, but is definitely not suitable for the MDF business.
Okay.
Purely because of the costs. At the same time, if you start importing chips, then the volume that you can transport as chips goes down drastically. So if you take solid timber, let's say the per cubic meter density of timber is around 600 to 700 kilos. Whereas when you start transporting chips, that falls down to 150-160 kilos per cubic meter. So there is a loss of efficiency of, or the cost of transportation increases because in the same volume, you're bringing in lesser weight. However, at this point of time, imported timber prices are still workable for the paper industry, but for the MDF industry, it's not workable at this point of time.
Oh.
We are exploring options from various countries. It's something that's constantly on our radar as a company, you know. But as of now, we have not ventured into imported ships yet because domestic prices still remain competitive after factoring in the freight for the imported ships.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushagra from Old Bridge Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions. One, on your volume growth expectation of 15%, I mean, so there are a couple of variables there, okay? Your new capacity will commercialize somewhere in 3Q. Peers are ramping up the capacity, and then you said 0.4 million CBM is coming in FY25 as well. So, you know, the question really is, to push that incremental 15% volumes, would you need to go for more sort of pricing cuts, which you are saying not, but who will absorb those volumes, or you will see that inventory build up but won't go lower on pricing? There seems to be some mismatch, if you can sort of clarify that.
Yeah, I didn't understand the question. How we are going to achieve that volume.
So, you know, we are forcing domestic, on the domestic front, you know, we are already seeing year-on-year improvements in volumes. And, you know, we've also reinitiated the export model at this point of time, which we had consciously stopped towards, you know, in the last last few quarters because of, pricing pressure. We passed on some price cost increases on that side. You know, what has come to benefit us is that freight costs from Southeast Asian countries to the Middle East increase has been much higher than what it has been from India. So we're able to pass on, or let's say get that benefit on our FOB pricing. So we foresee that there will be some improvement on the export volumes as well. So at this point of time, we are looking at the market scenario, looking at how the domestic volumes are panning out. We should be able to achieve that volume growth that we have initially projected.
Right. So, I mean, if the market overall is seeing capacities, how do you see, you know, who will be the guys who would absorb those incremental volumes? It's the incremental volumes are not only from your side, but your peers as well. So the thoughts were more around who will absorb those volumes, incremental volumes, to sort of support without pricing going down. That was the question really.
Yeah, so you see, one thing to keep in mind is that the new line that we have is going to be specialized for thin MDF production. It's a segment that we are not currently very actively present in, you know, the 1.9, 2.1, 2.5 millimeter market, which is a huge market, and we don't actively participate in that market because it's not viable to produce it on larger lines. So that is something that will be an immediate added sort of benefit for us, that we'll be able to liquidate a large quantity of that from our existing network, where we are, at the moment they go to other smaller players to source. At the same time, you know, the growth that we are projecting is also in line with the current market growth that is happening, which is around 15 to 20%. Yeah, the market is also growing at that pace. So I'm quite, you know, everyone is expecting that, okay, from if the market is growing at that and based on the last year's level, that much growth should be available for everyone.
All right. So the second question is, it's more like a data question, if you can call out the profitability either in margins or EBITDA per CBM for your basic, which you said industrial and commercial, and the international segment as well.
Okay. It's not possible to, you know, give the margins per cubic meter for industrial and value-added products, because there is no way we can apportion the overheads on those different product categories. So overall, if we look at our MDF business, EBITDA per cubic meter has been 3,379 per cubic meter for the current quarter.
And international, if you can call out?
It's very, very marginal. I would say possibly we are doing somewhere between 1 to 2% EBITDA on the international business.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balaji Vaidyanath from NAFA Asset Managers. Please go ahead. Balaji, the line for you has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Good evening. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are audible, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Shobhanji, if you could throw some light on how the international markets, especially the developed markets, are faring, because, you know, a couple of conference calls before, you had mentioned that, you know, capacity...
Sorry, Balaji, can you just speak a little slow? The line's not very clear.
I was just mentioning that, you know, if you could throw some light on the international markets, especially the developed economies, because, you know, a couple of quarters back, you had mentioned that capacities that had to go to Europe and US got rerouted to India because of the slowdown in those markets. So are we seeing some amount of improvement in those markets? Something that I wanted to know from your side.
No, so I think on the demand side, I think there has definitely been improvements. You know, the biggest challenge today is on account of the sea freight. And that's where the challenge lies, that people are not freely selling to the more lucrative markets, because, you know, the reason why people would import from Southeast Asia would be on of a cheaper landed product. But because of the freight disturbance, we are not seeing a drastic increase of material being shifted to the developed markets because of the current freight scenario. But if you talk specific on the demand in those developed markets, demand continues to remain quite robust. You know, we are also getting inquiries from countries that we've not even reached at this point of time. But the unfortunate situation is that we're not able to cater to them because of the freight scenario.
So this includes US as well?
Yes, we've got, in fact, surprisingly gotten inquiries from the US as well. But if we choose to transport the material from India to the US, I think the freight cost would be higher than the product cost. So... But it's an indication that, the demand is good and they're looking for material beyond their traditional sort of suppliers.
Okay. So my second question is on the value-added products that we're talking about. So just wanted to understand that, as it is, if I'm not mistaken, I think more than 50% of the product portfolio is value-added products or some such very high number. If my memory serves me right. But it hasn't kind of helped us from the point of view of margins. So is there really sanctity towards, you know, these value-added products that we are talking about?
Okay. So if you look at the current quarter, the proportion of value-added products was 47% of the domestic volumes. And the value-added products have two advantages. One, the realization is higher and the operating margins are also higher. So now if you look at the plain category, whether it's the industrial or commercial, now we are possibly making a 12% margin or a slightly lower margin on a realization of approximately 22,700. Whereas if you look at the value-added category, there is an incremental EBITDA of 3% on a value which is higher by 50%. So if the plain category is getting me a realization of around 22,700, my value-added category is getting me a realization of 37,500. So there is definitely significant advantage in increasing the proportion of value-added products. And it also insulates me from competition from imports. So those are the two significant advantages in trying to increase the proportion of value-added products.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaustav Bhavna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Shobhan. Thank you for taking my question. So yeah. I had a few questions on value addition. I think, you know, this is an important point because what I wanted to understand is what are you exactly doing in value addition? And to the previous participant's question, I think a few questions ago, they're like, how are you going to diversify away from MDS? So my question to you is, how do you, in your value addition space, how do you plan to grow low pressure laminates into this MDF division that you have, because you already are making the MDF board, then does that come under value addition? Because that could probably provide less volatility and better margin.
So, Kaustav, I think the primary products that fall into, let's say, our value added basket would be the HDWR grade, which we call as club grade, the exterior grade to a certain extent. Then we have flooring, the wooden flooring. And then, of course, is the low-pressure laminate or pre-laminated MDF, as the industry calls it, in which we are very much already prevalent. You know, we do close to about 120,000 sheets per month of that particular product. And, of course, the idea is to bring these levels to a much higher number. I think we're close, our capacity is almost double of what we are currently selling on the low pressure laminate segment. So, you know, when the thin material does become available, then there would be an added opportunity because thin MDF with the pre-laminated pre-lamination is also a very big market. So that would also be something of an added input to the value added segment for us.
Excellent. And one, this 47% mix of value add, where do you see it going in your domestic realizations? Where do you see it going in 3 years?
So, you know, this segment for us is growing better than, you know, the, I would say the general market. So, we think that this could go up to 60 to 65%. Over the next, you know, one and a half years, 2 years, yes.
And you said the realization for value add was 37,000 or 47,000? 37,000, right?
37,000.
37.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Oban. Look forward to seeing you soon sometime. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Asim from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, evening. This 15% volume growth expectation for FY25 that you mentioned earlier, does this also include exports?
Yeah, it includes. Yes, it's a mix of both domestic and exports and OEMs.
But if there are exports also, and you did talk about that you have reinitiated the export model because logistics costs were we are more competitive. But since EBITDA margins and exports are already at break-even levels, how would the 16% FY25 EBITDA margin come, the targeted margin?
See, the majority of the volume growth would have to come from the domestic segment. Now, we are targeting volume growth of around 3 to 5% in the export segment and most of the volume growth from the domestic segment.
So exports still in the overall mix would be what, 15-20% for the year? You probably want to restrict it to that level, is it?
Yeah, I think it should be lower than 20%.
Okay, and second question on the MDF imports bit, you did talk about, you know, the freight cost is about $30 to $35 per cubic meter. Can you just tell us what was this level, say, 2 to 3 months ago? Because other industries do tell us that freight costs have come off. But at least from your commentary, it looks like it is not the case. Or maybe it's not the case of Southeast Asia. So, will you be aware what the prices were earlier?
I mean, I think they used to be around $10 to $12 per cubic meter.
That was at its lowest, right? But then in between, because freight costs jumped up because of the container issue, did it rise higher and then come down to $30, or did it rise to 30 and it has stayed there since?
I don't think there has been much correction on the freight in our product segment, at least.
It has doubled in the last.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please restrict your questions to two per person. We have the next question from the line of Harsh K. Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. One question from my side. So assuming the current realization as well as the timber prices, so at what level of capacity utilization do we believe that for the newer plant we could be EBITDA positive?
For the new plant, I think around 55% capacity utilization should be EBITDA positive.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the follow-up. Just want to get a clarity on ply volume growth. Earlier you have guided 8%, so this quarter has also been muted. You want to change it? How is it looking? And will this segment hit EBITDA positive in upcoming quarter?
At this point of time, I think we'd like to maintain the 8% growth that we have initially projected, I think. So we should be EBITDA positive by the end of the year for sure.
Okay, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Bhavsar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So thank you for the opportunity. I just had a few bookkeeping questions. So the first one is, when you mentioned what is the share of value-added products in terms of value? I guess in terms of volume, it is 47. What is in terms of value?
Right. In terms of value, it would be, just give me a second, 59%. 59.
Okay. And so the other thing, you mentioned that your export margins would be in the range of 1 to 2%. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We thank everyone for joining this call. We look forward to speaking to everyone in the next quarter. If anyone has any further queries or clarifications, please feel free to reach out to us. And we wish everyone a very good evening. Thank you.
Thank you for your participation.
Thank you. On behalf of Green Panel Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.